Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench, Sean Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you all the day's action from around the best sporting county in Ireland, if not the world. In terms of international games today, Ireland, of course, currently in action against Belgium. Currently nil-all there at half-time. That one, of course, being John O'Shea's first game as Irish manager, albeit on an interim basis, and a fairly dull affair in the Aviva at the moment with the sounds of it. In rugby, the Irish women's team opened their Six Nations campaign with a loss to France in Le Mans today. It finished France 38, Ireland 17. To Gaelic games now, and after their disappointment against Tipperary last week, the Cork senior camogie squad were keen to turn things around today as they faced off against Clare in Parkyring, beating them on a scoreline of 115-106. But from the sounds of it, they'd left a lot to be desired. Here's me speaking to Gerard McCarthy about the game. We're delighted to be joined by Gerard McCarthy once again here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Gerard, you were at the camogie for us today. The Cork seniors beating Clare in Parkyring on a scoreline of 115-106. It was great to turn it around from the events last week.
Yeah, Dan, the Cork seniors played very, very well today. Their shooting was a little off, but the conditions are fairly windy down in Parkyring, so that has some bearing on it as well. There were only 6 points to 1 up at half time, and they pucked around 9 wides in the first half, so there was a little bit of trepidation. Changing ends, was this going to be another one of those days? But as soon as Hannah Looney collected a Katrina Mackey pass and found the back of the net and made a 1-6 to a point, Cork just kind of kicked on from there. So John Manley was happy with the result, but not necessarily with the performance. But as you said, eradicating the memory of the disappointing loss to Tipperary and setting themselves up for a big, big trip now to Galway was the only important thing today, and Cork did that.
Yeah, Clare sitting still bottom of the table. I mean, is it just the poor Clare side, Ger, that flattered Cork maybe on the scoreline?
I think they were a team in transition. There was a lot of young players on that panel today. I mean, you still have a lot of, some of the stalwarts are still there, but like Caoimhe Cahill, centre-forward, Ellen Casey, Liam Mulqueen and Ciara Grogan, those four names I wrote down because they were in the middle of the pitch doing their best to stem the Cork tide, but Cork just kept coming at them in waves and waves of attacks. And look, they only got 1 point in the first half, but they were playing into a hugely difficult wind. And look, they got a fortuitous goal, a deflected goal after about 45 minutes. They brought them back to within 6 points. But from that point on, even though Ciara Grogan was knocking over some decent frees, they were playing catch-up all the way through, Dan. And look, if Cork had even converted half the wides in the first half, it would have been a much, much wider margin at the end. So I don't think Clare could have any complaints with the result, but I think they'd be pleased with their defensive effort because they did thwart Cork on a lot of occasions. And look, the league is pretty much gone from them now at this stage, and what they'd be looking for now is to try and kick out for the Munster Championship as quickly as possible. But yeah, in terms of their results this year, they've lost all their games. It is a very, very difficult and high-quality Division 1 camogie league. Disappointing with the result, but there was certainly a lot of positives, I think, for John Carmody, the manager, to take from that performance.
And what are those positives?
Well, if you can hold Cork to 6 points in the first half when they're playing on home ground, put them off to the point where you know they puck 7 or 8 wides, you are doing something right. And look, the work rate and the effort from their puckouts as well. They were going short with all their puckouts thrown today from Rachel Daly. Maybe a bit more variation in that might suit them as time goes on. But look, in terms of the top four of the camogie, you're talking Cork, Tipperary, Kilkenny, Galway, they're going, and Waterford now as well, the five, they're all going to be thereabouts when it comes to all Ireland Championship time. Clare are on a different path. They're not going to be contenders, but I suppose maybe dropping down a division might not be the worst thing in the world, because if they can bounce back next year again, they have a lot of young players, as I said, on that team. It might do them some good. But today they put up a good effort and they kept going right to the end. And even though the scoreline, you know, 115-106 reflects a very, very dominant Cork performance, as I said, there were some positives to take out of it. The work rate, the effort, a bit more variation on their puckouts, and I think they'll give other teams plenty of trouble. And they certainly don't go away, Clare, irrespective of the score. They keep going right to the end. And also their tackling, that half-back line of Linda Daly, Ellen Casey and Susan Daly, they weren't afraid to give away frees today. It was a very, very physical game at times. And look, I see plus points for them in what's been a very, very difficult league campaign. But for John Carmody, it's all about the Munster Championship now.
And from a Cork point of view, Ger, what are the biggest differences or changes that were made to the side that lost to Tipperary?
Well, I suppose the big thing from Cork's point of view, Dan, was the work rate. And look, they pressed up on every single one of Clare's puckouts. So every time Clare wanted to go short, Cork were in their faces, forcing turnovers and doing their best Sean, for the entire game, something they didn't do against Tipperary or weren't allowed to do against Tipperary rather. I suppose the other big plus is that they held Clare scoreless from open play in the first half, and even though they did have a huge win at their backs, that was a big positive. Laura Tracy, I think the half-back line today deserves mentioned again. Izzy O'Regan was good. Laura Tracy, Laura Hayes at half-back is having a fantastic year for Cork St. Catharines pair. Maeve Murphy as well in cornerback, the Ballinora pair. She had one of her best days in the Cork jersey, really got stuck in. And look, when you've Aoife Healy and Hannah Looney, they're the engine room in midfield. They weren't afraid to get on the ball and surge forward. And what Cork were trying to preach today, Dan, was they wanted overlaps. They kept shouting to attack in twos and threes, not just one player going on a solo run, not getting isolated. And there was only a couple of occasions, probably late in the game when they were turned over by Clare. But on the whole, the performance, I think, plus points as well. I have to say, Saoirse McCartan came off the bench, even though she picked up an injury. She got 3 points. But the return of Saoirse McCarthy, Dan, was huge today. The Courtney Rovers player, she was excellent from frees. She won a lot of ball, won a lot of frees for them as well. She was missing the last day against Tip, and her influence definitely today. It was a big plus point to have her back in the team. And herself and Rachel Harty as well, who started for the first time, the Ballyhay player, and Fiona Keating, all did really, really well. Ran straight at that that Clare defence. And a word too for Hayley Ryan, our own Hayley Ryan here from Cork Shred FM. She came on Black Rock player in the second half and made a big contribution as well. So biggest plus point for, I suppose, for Ger Manley is like they go to Galway now knowing they're in with a show to possibly make a National League final, which is what they want to do. It won't be easy against Galway, but he has a lot of young players that he's been blooding. Rachel Harty starting today, Orla Callan back in the corner as well for them, and the likes of Hayley Ryan coming on, Niamh O'Callaghan as well making an appearance. So he has certainly got a bigger panel than he had, I think, this time last year, despite a few injuries. And Cork were able to make, effective substitutions off the bench and get the win.
Do you think they'll have enough to get the job done against Galway?
Good question. I think they're going to have to be a lot more physical, and they're certainly going to have to be a lot better in front of goal. They cannot afford to pop 9 wides and a half against anybody, and especially Galway. And don't forget, Dan, this is the Galway team that Cork, by a lot of pundits' views anyway, unexpectedly beat in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. There is never anything between the two teams. I know it's a cliche, but in terms of physicality, it's going to be really, really a tough, physical, hard game. I think, so we put it to Germany after the game, like that's the kind of game you want heading into the Munster Championship, the All-Ireland Championship anyway. But certainly Cork are going to have to seriously up their performance than what they played today against Clare. That won't be enough to beat Galway. But in terms of the physical stakes and in terms of the younger players, the teams, the Maeve Murphys, the Izzy O'Regans, the Rachel Hartys, the Orla Callans, getting an opportunity to go one-on-one against the likes of Galway on their home patch will certainly bring all those players on. So I would hope that Cork would have enough to win, but even if they don't, that's exactly the kind of test you want before you head into the Munster Championship.
Ger McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us. And here he is, catching up with Cork boss Ger Manley.
Ger Manley, first of all, congratulations. The objective today was to get the win, and you did that and got a good score, but your overall impression of the team's performance to beat Clare?
I suppose, look, Clare set up very defensively. I suppose we're a bit disappointed in the first half. We probably should have more scores. Our conversion in the second half was excellent. Tabby did a lot better into the wind. And so, look, as you said, we wanted to win today to set up the game next week in Scotland. That's what we did. Achieved that, so we're happy.
Considering the amount of efforts that you missed in the first half, about 9 if you were dropped short, were you getting frustrated?
I suppose, look, they know themselves, the girls are frustrated at it, because look, they've been around quite a bit and they understand, and I suppose we took a few wrong options, but look, we spoke about it at half time, Liam spoke to them, and I think they said alright the second half. I thought we were very good at first 10 or 15 minutes, and we put the game to bed. I suppose, look, they got a deflected goal there that put a bit of a better look for Clare, but I thought we were well in top near the end.
Work rate, the high press from there, puck outs, everything you wanted. I would imagine that you worked on in training following the Tipperary game. You must have been happy with that.
Yeah, we did a hard block of training, since the Tip game, because I suppose, look, we weren't back that long, and we are after a hard week. So, look, we're seeing a bit of improvement every week, and I suppose we'd have to improve again. No, Galway and Cork obviously have great battles on through the year, so, look, we've knockout game next week. So,
how important is it the fact that you're playing Galway? It's going to be a really tough game, irrespective of the outcome, because that's the kind of thing you want going into Munster.
Yeah, well, a lot of girls now get games. Look, Ronnie Callan, I thought, played well coming out. Like, Rachel Harty started our first game, and we're refusing to put to the squads. And it sees where we're at as well, and it sees girls that we can use down the line. And I suppose, look, Galway's a great test. It's up in Galway, I think we're in Loughrea, or I don't know where, Bannisloe. So, look, any time we go up there, they play us. Look, we probably beat in the semi final last year, so it's a good test for us.
It's also a good test to see where you are at this particular time of the year. How How well are you going in your own opinion? Are you where you want to be?
Look, I suppose you can't, like, I'd rather be peaking in the championship. I suppose there's lots of teams going very well, Leo. Like, you saw that against Tip last week. Tip were flying, I thought, last week in Sussier. And look, we're a bit off. It's still, like, but who wants to be going well this time? Like, we're trying to peak in May. Like, our championship starts against Wexford. Like, we want to get to the league final because that'll set us up again. So, look, the Galway game is a huge game now for us, and we treat it as a very important game next week.
Speaking of injuries and people coming back, Saoirse McCarthy was back in action today. She made a valuable contribution.
She's a class player, you know. Like, she can play anywhere. Like, playing her half hour down a few games, she could be half back next week. Saoirse McCarthy got a bad injury down her ankle. Hope she's okay. And look, we're getting him right. Laura Tracy, as you can see, he's back, made a big difference. Trying to mind the footballers, took a couple of footballers off today, but it's just getting the panel right. Look, there's probably a bit of competition still for places. We have to finalise the championship panel, so that'll be finalised next week or two.
Excellent stuff, thank you.
Great stuff out of both the jurors there. And before the Cork footballers take to the field in Super Value Parky Cueve at 7, it was the turn of Kilkenny and Limerick to take to the field in the hurling. It has just finished and it ended Kilkenny 3-17, Limerick 1-15. Now back to the Camogie. Juror also spoke to Cork superstar Saoirse McCarthy as she returned to the squad.
Okay, Saoirse McCarthy, first of all, congratulations. An emphatic win over Clare today. I would imagine there was a lot of emphasis this week on righting the wrongs of that Tipperary loss. Was that foremost in the players' minds?
Yeah, look, you know, you want to win every game you go out and play, but like, the league is designed for trying out new things and trying new players, so obviously we're disappointed with the loss against Tip, but we had to get back on track now today and happy we got the win.
What about yourself? Because you were injured there for the Tipperary game. You seemed to go quite well today and got a good few scores as well.
Yeah, you know, I suppose no one likes missing a game and you're always hungry to get back onto the team, and it is so competitive within our panel that, like, you want to put on a performance every time you go out and play, so trying to get the jersey back now.
Yeah, there would be quite a lot of competition for places today, but overall today in the National League, this is all about getting ready for Championship, but this Cork team wants to get back to a National League final.
Yeah, look, we've gotten there the last 2 years in a row, so if we don't get there, you know, we'd probably see that as a bit of a step backwards. But, like, nobody goes out at the start of the year to win a league. Obviously, it'd be nice. All eyes now next week against Galway.
Yeah, that's a tough trip for you, and there's still a lot to play for. A lot of teams jockeying at the top of the National League table, but that's what you wanted this time of the year, Saoirse. Real tough tests, and they don't come any more physical or tougher than playing Galway.
Yeah, no, do you know, there's no easy teams left in it. Like, every match you have to try and put on a performance, but obviously now that'll be a huge test, winner takes all, next week, but we wouldn't have it any other way. Like, love playing on big days, so yeah, exciting.
How are you finding it again? Look, it's new management this year. I know everybody knows Joe Manley from his time with Matthew in previous years, but he's the main man in charge now. There's always a bit of a difference, new people coming in, but Cork seem to be settling.
Yeah, do you know, like change is good. I think you have to think about it that way. Obviously, last year's management team were phenomenal. We were all so close to them, and we wish them all the best. But, like, we have to move on too. Like, Ledger's settling in grand. Obviously, there's changes and, like, different ways of doing things. And, you know, we're just testing right now, and all going well so far. Anyway.
And just to finish up, we are looking forward to that Galway game. It's going to be a real tough test, but this is what you want going into the Munster Championship.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you want to be playing those games this time of year and getting ready for the championship, and that's what it's all about. Like, that's why we're all playing National League games, and so, you know, it's great to have competitive camogie this time of year. So the more big games, the better. And, you know, you're blooding in new players all the time, and, like, if someone's making their debut today, they could be playing again next week against Galway, and we want to be getting them set for that. So yeah.
Good to see you back. Thanks very much, Saoirse.
Sure, thanks, William.
And you also caught up with Cork's Saoirse McCartan.
Now, Saoirse McCartan, congratulations. You came on there and you made a bit of an impact off the bench, and an important win for Cork today against Clare, because coming off that defeat against Tipperary and looking ahead to Galway, Cork needed to win today and you got it done.
Yeah, our performance probably wasn't what we wanted it to be, but look, we got the win, and that's the most important thing. I think it's that time of year where you're trying to bleed players in and get new positions and stuff for players. So yeah, look, happy enough that we came away with the win, but a lot to improve on.
Yeah, they were tough. They were very, very close backing defenders. There's some tough challenges out there. Mm-hmm. You did make an impact when you came off the bench. That's what you want to do, and keep your name in Joe Manley's mind.
Yeah, completely. Like, it's look, the competition's unbelievable. It's almost more than last year, so everyone needs to put their shoulder to the wheel. And, you know, if whether you're on the bench or you're starting, you know, the same effort has to be the same across the board. So look, delighted that come on in and do a job. But yeah, look, everyone's as important as the next person. So it's just about getting the subs now and getting confidence into them as well. So yeah.
You mentioned the fact that so many new players are on the panel this year. It is going to be very, very tough for competition for places. Going to Galway on your final league game, this is exactly what you want. That's going to be tough. That's going to be really hard on the road. But these are the challenges that you faced last year and overcame.
Yeah, definitely. Look, they're the probably the form team at the moment. They defeated Kilkenny obviously with a probably more of a margin than we did. So look, they'll have eyes in this game as well after last year to get a bit of revenge. So yeah, look, we're looking forward to it. It's a thing of we just have to keep on building and have to keep putting, I suppose, our best foot forward. And look, we'll see where we're really at next week when we come up against them. Yep, definitely.
Good stuff. And well done today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks to Jor for being there for us in Parky Ring. Now to a bit of football, and Cork City secured their unbeaten status in the SSE or Tricity League First Division with a nil-all draw against Treaty United in Markets Field last night. Earlier today, I caught up with City's own Cian Bargary. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork City's Cian Bargary. Cian, I suppose a disappointing enough result in Treaty in Markets Field last night, nil-all. What did you make of the game yourself?
I thought we'd done well. Obviously, we started well enough. Both teams had chances. They're like not major chances, but like just on the edge of the box, kind of blocked and stuff. Could have nearly won it in the end. Greg had a strike. It was a good save from Corey, and even in the first half, Eve had a strike in the on Corey as well. It was a great save as well. So like. Good result. Listen, another clean sheet on the road again. Like so, it's a good result. To be fair, I think anyway. So we just work on next week.
Yeah. Speaking of being on the road, you were on the road to recovery for quite some time. What was it like getting your first competitive minutes of the season?
Yeah, it's brilliant to be back. To be honest, I've been out now for a while, and I'm just been just trying to get back as quick as I can. So. Because obviously I want to play as much as I can again this year. So I'm delighted to get back in the pitch for a couple of minutes yesterday, get a few minutes in the tank. I was playing had a couple of minutes with the 20s the week before just to kind of get back into the swing of things. But feel good. Just need to get a bit fitter now and
yeah,
need to get a bit just up to speed with the game.
And again. I suppose is it fitness or match sharpness you'd be more worried about this time when you're coming on like this?
Probably just match sharpness. But to be fair, last night I thought I was ready for the game. I thought I'd done well with the balls I got. Thought I was an impact off the bench. But I just try and help the team as much as I can.
Yeah, you were dropping like flies at one point last year with injuries. Is there something Cork City are now maybe doing differently this year to avoid so many injuries?
Listen, we've got a good strength and conditioning coach. He works well with us. We do like all our work in the morning. We're all in the gym at a certain time, and then even like warm ups, and we just get lots of work into our body, like before training and even after training. We have recovery and you have your own stuff. Even on for your off days, you go in. He gives you stuff to do, and so like it's definitely good. We're in kind of better shape probably than last year, but still we have a good couple of boys to come back. Like we're missing a good couple of boys yesterday, even like Kyle, Jaden, all the boys gone on the Irish team. We had Moz was out yesterday as well. We have a couple of boys to come back. Even Daz was on the bench last night, so that was good to see him back around the team again.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's so much talk around Cathal O'Sullivan in particular. What's he like to be training with at the moment?
He's brilliant. To be fair, I think he's a fantastic player. I know him a while now because he played with my nephew underage, under 15, and I used to go down and watch him the whole time, and he was class to watch. Even his work ethic is brilliant. Like he's in the gym, he's 100% on the pitch, he's 100%. So you just love to see it. Like, and he will go far in the game.
Yeah, and is it his work ethic and I suppose personality with that? What's that like as well?
He's a good lad. To be fair, I have good crack with him in the mornings. We playing darts, even in the gym, he's good crack. So like he's tuned in. He knows what he has to do. And to be fair, he's doing it.
Yeah, what's the dartboard in the gym for?
No, it's in the players' room, just in the mornings. Yeah, just when you're in there early and.
Yeah, you could have been practicing for the Premier League darts on last Thursday.
Jeez, no, we wouldn't be that good now. To be fair, we'd be hitting treble 11s, which is not what you're aiming for.
Did you ever hit a 180?
No, I haven't, not yet. But I try my best.
You'll get there. You'll get there. 180 goals this season as well.
Yeah.
Keane, you were here last year, obviously. What impetus has Tim Clancy brought to the side this year?
Tim's been brilliant this year, even for me, just positive, because he knew my injury from, like, he had the injury before himself, so he knew it. He knows what it's like. He knows it's a difficult one. Like, it could be here one day and it could be gone. It could be gone the next. So for me, he's helped me through that. He, like, just to calm myself, because obviously I was frustrated from last year, and like I just wanted to be back straight away and just kind of scrape all that from last year. But for me, I think he's brilliant, even just positivity wise. Like, it's just all positive. Obviously, if you're not doing great, he's telling you what to do. So just positive. What I get from it is just, it's so positive, and that's just kind of helping us this year, and that's what we need this year, just from all the kind of negative that we had from last year. So like, I think it's brilliant to have Tim managing us this year.
Yeah, the start of the second half, he came out all guns blazing, but it kind of faded away. Would it be fair to say, Keane?
Sorry, say that again?
He kind of came out in the second half, all guns blazing all over them, and it kind of faded away. Was there a particular reason for that?
I'm not sure. See, Tweed probably got a lease of life then in the second half a couple of times. Obviously, they had a couple of breaks. They had a few chances. But then, I think come toward the end of the game, I think, for me, when I came on, I feel like we had a couple of chances. I feel like I had a chance there my first touch, and I came on just around the back post. I probably would have got a full touch and maybe even scored. Even just some balls into the box, I probably could have been better with. But I felt like we had a couple of chances in the second half, even with Greg's strike at the end. We had a few breaking balls in the box from corners and throw-ins. So like, maybe for a couple of minutes in the second half, or sometimes it's like happens in a game where you either just have to sit back for a couple of minutes, take the pressure, and then you just go again. But that's kind of just football. It kind of like happens at both ends, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. We got relegated last year, obviously, and we're top of the table now at the moment in the first division. Is that a different type of pressure, being top as opposed to fighting for relegation?
Yeah, it's a different. It is a different type of pressure, to be fair. Obviously, like, we're expected to win the league this year, and I think if we keep playing the way we are, obviously the pitches will get better. We'll start getting better, and we'll get fitter. I feel like we can win it, and the pressure, it comes with it as well. Like, you have to be ready for it. We were ready for it 2 years ago, and we won the league, and I think we'll be the same this year. We have obviously a few experienced boys in this team this year, and it'll help us along even more.
Yeah, and I suppose if we do go up again, do you think there'll be plans put in place that it won't be as such a poor season in that Premier Division?
Well, I obviously can't say what's going to happen next year, but hopefully, obviously, you'd be hoping that we'll be better prepared for it mentally. Obviously, knowing that it is a tough league to go up to, and you just have to work hard, and but we'll just take this year as it comes down. We just have to work on this year and get back up there, and then we'll get our heads ready for that then.
Yeah, I suppose it must be tough in ways as well. I mean, every team in this division is going to treat it like it's their Champions League final, effectively. With Cork City Irish team.
That's the thing. That's what comes with playing for Cork. It's such a big club in the country. Even when we're in the Premier Division, it's one of the biggest clubs in Ireland. So like, that's the pressure you have to take, and obviously we're expecting every club who we play against to come and give 150% when they're playing against us. So we just have to be ready for that, and just always give 100% every time as well. Be confident on the ball, and just create more chances, and I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, Athlone are back in town this Friday. Are you looking forward to that one?
Yeah, can't wait. Now, Athlone are obviously a good team. They'll be tough. I know. I know they have. Well, they don't have their striker anymore, but they've started off well this year. I think they came down. I don't know. I don't know if they were 3-0 down anyway last night. I think could have finished 3-3 or 4-3, I'm not sure. But they're tough to play against then. But I think if we start strong and get an early goal, I think we'll be okay.
Perfect stuff. And hopefully the cross will be in full flow. Appreciate it, Cian.
No bother. Thanks very much, Dan.
That's all for the first half hour here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here on the hot seat on this Saturday evening. Join us again after the break for where we're going to hear from Irish rugby legend Brian O'Driscoll. Don't go anywhere.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Red FM. Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you. Now, Rory has been chatting to Brian O'Driscoll about the Guinness Women's Six Nations. The Ireland legend is urging fans to get behind the Irish team and buy tickets to their home games, with tickets available on irishrugby.ie. Just as a little bit of a reminder, this is recorded before the French game earlier today, where they lost 38-17. But enjoy.
I am delighted to be joined now by Guinness Ambassador Brian O'Driscoll, who is reminding fans that the Guinness Six Nations isn't over with the opening fixture of the Guinness Women's Six Nations taking place this weekend. This season, Guinness and Brian O'Driscoll are calling on Irish rugby fans to show their support for the Women's Championship by purchasing tickets to the matches. To purchase tickets to the Guinness Women's Six Nations, you can visit irishrugby.ie/Ireland/tickets. Brian, it's a pleasure having you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And as I said just in that intro there, I suppose that's the message we have to get out, is that the Six Nations isn't over and there's some big matches for this women's team ahead.
Yeah, there sure are. I think, you know, it's been very well documented where the women's game has come from the last couple of years, the disappointment of not making the World Cup in New Zealand back in 2022. But the positivity around the increased investment, the professional contracts, new coaching ticket, new energy seems to be in the squad. So it's never more important to a team when things aren't going brilliantly or haven't gone brilliantly in the past, that's when teams need the support most. It's easy to be a Fairweather supporter. It's when the going's been a bit tough or when the results haven't quite gone your way that's actually when you need people coming to watch you and cheer you on. I have to say, last year for the England game in Virgin Media Park now down in Musgrave, you know, okay, it was a loss, but you know, being in the stand, the positivity from the supporters there right till minute 80 was brilliant, and exactly what players feed off. And it's a building phase, no doubt. There's a lot of change happened, and you know, I think all they're looking at is improvement on what they delivered, you know, back in XV3. Okay, they didn't want to be in that competition, maybe didn't play against, you know, some rugby strongholds, but ultimately it's about continued improvement and then hopefully starting to pick off some victories and a good opportunity in this Six Nations, certainly to get a win or two if they can play well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Just to pick up what you were saying there, I mean, like when you were playing, you obviously, like the support from the sidelines and the terrace was vital. So getting the venues packed out for these games will be a massive, massive help to the Irish team.
Well, as a player, be it a club player or an international player, ultimately you're a showman or a showwoman, and you want to go and play in front of as many people as you can, and you want to have that support, particularly at home. I think if you look at what the Red Roses did last year against France in Twickenham, nearly 60,000 people, it's exceptional. And they're in a different trajectory on their cycle. They've been professional for a number of years. They've been continually very high performers. We're at a very different position on our cycle. But nonetheless, you still need that level of support to get behind you, to get young boys and girls, you know, seeing their heroes, you know, elevate some of our sevens players that have had success coming back to 15s, getting, you know, showing them their superstars in close proximity. I think going from Cork to Belfast to Dublin is all important to generate a countrywide supporter base. So for me, it's an exciting time, and it's definitely a building phase with new coaching ticket and new players and new co-captains coming in. So there's a lot to be excited about, and I think a huge part of that is just the support that they get from the general public.
Yeah, certainly so. And as you mentioned, the new coaching ticket, Scott Beaman coming in last summer, with a big job ahead of him, considering, I suppose, where Ireland were last year, Six Nations, obviously not ideal with five defeats, some of those heavy defeats as well. So he has a big job on his hands to build things up. But even just from listening to the players in the press conferences this week, there seems to be a massive sense of optimism around the camp.
Yeah, and I think any coach coming in has a master plan. But I suppose sometimes you have to, that is tweaked depending on personnel, depending on skill sets, depending on confidence levels, and you can't go from 0 to 100. You've got to build, put building blocks in place. It definitely feels as though this team is in a position of needing to build some good foundations to make sure that they get better, you know, game on game and year on year. This won't be fixed overnight. It's going to be a bit of a process, but in doing so, that they're able to A, feel as though the environment is good, that there's a feel-good factor in camp, and that they are getting, you know, improved resources, which is undoubtedly the case in the last couple of years. In fairness to Kevin Potts, since he's come in as CEO of the IRFU, there's been a massive focus on the women's game, on pathways, on professional contracts being issued at 15s for the first time, quality strength and conditioning wraparound components to that makes any team a success or gives any team a chance of success. So I think we're going in the right direction, but people need to be patient with it.
Yeah, and for the players as well, and for, I suppose for when a new coach comes in, he needs buy-in from those players, and it looks like Scott has gotten that, and it looks like they're all united behind him.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not going to go back to the negativity around, obviously, letters going into government. I think, you know, lots needed to be fixed. You know, what was going on behind the scenes, but also, I think, a bit of ownership as well and responsibility within the squad. And I think that environment with, you know, personnel and with the conversations that they've had internally feels as though it's going in the right direction. And listen, I've been involved in teams that the culture has been very questionable, and it's so hard to build any form of momentum when people are at one another or there's finger pointing. So once you get, you know, a positive message that Scott is clearly consistently giving to them around where they're going, the direction they want to be in, the timeline for it, and also continuing to improve as individuals and as a collective. They're learning skills, you know, they're getting the coaching that they're clearly responding well to. So all of that is going to create a very positive environment, and particularly when you feel as though more of those resources are being put towards your continued development, all of that is going to add towards the feel-good factor within any squad. When you feel good and you feel as though you've got a fighting chance, it's when you're going to play better rugby.
Heading to France, though, this weekend, not an easy place to go at any level. France beat Ireland comfortably last year, the year before as well. So on paper, this is a huge, huge task for Ireland this weekend, Brian.
Yeah, it is. I saw Scott talk about we need to fire some shots. I don't necessarily think anyone expects that the women's team to go over there and you know, beat a pretty impressive French team. You know, they were World Cup semi-finalists a couple of years ago, consistently second best in the Six Nations over the last 6 or 7 years. Yeah, we've had a tough against them in recent times, but all of these fixtures give an opportunity. You know, if you go over and think, oh well, you know, lambs to the slaughter, well, that's going to be the outcome. I think you have to go over there and find a way to, even in defeat, if that's what's coming, even in that, you have to find some ways of keeping the scoreline down or feeling as though you've pressured them or made them, you know, force errors, be it defensively or frailties in attack as well. all of that will add to the confidence levels going forward. I think the expectation, I'm not speaking for them internally, but I think the expectation is that we've got a far greater opportunity of winning one of the games that we have at home. France and England away this year is not the more favoured route to playing, you know, to gaining victory. Mm-hmm. So we need to think and focus on, you know, Dublin, Cork or Belfast, of picking up hopefully at least that victory, maybe a couple of victories in that regard, and hopefully, you know, like I said, it's just a momentum piece around building on some of the good work that happened late last year.
Yeah, Ireland's first home game against Italy at the RDS on Sunday, March 31st. Fingers crossed, a massive crowd for that. I'd imagine Scott is going to be targeting that game as the game to say, look, lads, this, we have a real shot at getting a win here.
Yeah, and, you know, you want to give focus, the same focus to every game, but the reality is human nature, and particularly when I've been, again, involved in teams that be huge underdogs, and you always have to think that there's a possibility of an upset, but there are certain games that, as a team, be it club or country, that you will target a little bit more, that you'll really fancy your chances, and they won't hold anything in reserve from this weekend, but it definitely feels as though it's a huge opportunity. If we can get a good crowd and a good supporter base down to the RDS and get people in behind them and start well, that's, you know, that's half the job done.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. So what would be a good tournament for Ireland, do you think, Brian? Is it too simplistic to say just not getting the wooden spoon this year is going to be a good year for Ireland?
I think do you know what, you look back on five losses last year, a win is an improvement. All you're looking for is improvement. This is not going to be a very quick fix. You're not going to be all of a sudden competing with France and, mm-hmm. and England overnight. This is going to take 3, 4, 5, 6 years of constant development and reinforcement and resources and all the things that I mentioned. So I think getting a victory, a second victory would be amazing as well. Obviously, if you finish third in the competition, you know, you're going to qualify for the World Cup, which is a huge goal for our women's team, having missed out last time round. So I think, you know, there's no harm in having those aspirations, but I think a victory or two would certainly be a step in the right direction.
It's all about exposure as well, Brian. I mean, like, the exposure that this team, and I suppose women's sport in general, over the last few years, it's been growing and growing and growing, which I suppose is a massive help. So the more eyes on this team, the better.
And also, the media coverage as well. I think that's the beauty of the standalone tournament. You know, we're into season 3 of it now, and maybe in the past, you know, from a coverage perspective, it was lost, you know, amongst the men's senior team, and at times even the men's under 20s. So to have it standalone, you're reading way more about your big name players, many of which are coming back from the seventh circle where they've had success. Hopefully the injection of confidence that they will bring into the environment will have a positive knock-on effect to others. So yeah, I think it's, you know, the fact that, you know, Guinness have come in now and been title sponsored for both men's and women's, I think all of it is about shining a light on attendance, on about media coverage, on interest levels, and sometimes it's cart before the horse. You know, maybe the results haven't been quite what we would have hoped for, but there's a distinct possibility of this team getting better year on year now that we have the foundations in place and the resources in place. So I think the big thing is about trying to get in and support our team as much as we can, and the beauty of that is we're going to get a game in 3 of the 4 provinces in the country, and so people have an opportunity to see some of these big name players delivering at home.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, those games coming up at the RDS, Virgin Media Park and at Kingspan Stadium over the next few weeks. Get your tickets at irishrugby.ie/Ireland/ticket for those games in the Guinness Women's Six Nations. Finally, Brian, just before I let you go, because you're on a Cork radio station, I can't let you go without talking about a certain Cork man who may have played his last game for Ireland last week. And if it was to be Peter O'Mahony's last game in an Ireland shirt, like, what can you say about him? He bows out as an absolute legend.
Yeah, he sure does. You know, the success that he's had when he came in over a decade ago. Is it his 5th Six Nations title, a couple of Grand Slams, countless victories against the best teams in the world, be it England, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa. He's been an incredible performer for Ireland for a number of years, and you know, continually kind of coming back when people had begun to write him off. And listen, only he knows when the time is right to exit stage left. We can all have an opinion, but you know in your bones when it's a good time or whether you feel as though there's a little bit more in the tank, and so we'll leave it to him. But yeah, he's been a brilliant servant for Munster and Ireland over his career, constantly turned up for big moments in big games, clutch moments, which is what you want from any leader in any side. So yeah, I suppose we'll wait and see what decision comes his way, but you'd imagine that you could do with him down in South Africa at the same time, so maybe we'll hang on to him.
He might be able, we might convince him, he might twist his arm, like, you know. Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today, so thanks very much for joining us.
Great man, thanks a lot. Cheers, Rory, all the best.
And sticking with the rugby here, Rory is host of the Red 78 for Off the Ball and Munster Rugby Podcast. This week, he and his co-hosts, Munster legends Fiona Hayes and Alan Quinlan, set down for an in-depth conversation with Munster's attack coach, Mike Prendergast. Let's take a listen.
Sam, the big news today, Billy Burns signing for Munster for next season, which is a big, big get for Munster, I suppose.
Yeah, he's a super signing for us. You know, he's an experienced player. I think when you look through the experience he has, he's over 100 games played with Gloucester. He's over 100 games played with Ulster, and he's 7 Irish caps as well. So he'll bring a lot of experience. And I think that's a big thing as well, just in terms of his age profile as well. We're losing, obviously, Joey, who's an experienced guy with plenty of caps. To be able to bring in someone like Billy is a real positive signing, I think, for us. In terms of, said, his profile, his age profile, but also his player profile. I think the way we play, he'll suit us. I think technically he's a very good player. He's got a very good short kicking game, very good passing game. So we're excited to get him on board for next season.
And just speaking about how proud of you where you have Jack Crowley and his performances over the Six Nations. He seems like he took over that number 10 shirt like he owned it.
Yeah, Jack has been excellent. I think last year as well, you look at the season he had coming into this season, and he's a guy who's just working incredibly hard in his game. At 24 years of age, he's quite young for the position he's in, and obviously to take over from someone like Johnny Sexton is obviously, there's a lot of pressure going to come with that, and I thought he equipped himself and were very, very impressive. And the great thing about Jack is there's still a good bit to go, and he's the first guy that will tell you that as well. But in terms of the Six Nations he had, it was very, I suppose, mature Six Nations in terms of his performance. So he'll be delighted, and it's great going forward for Irish rugby and for Munster rugby.
Yeah, Mike, it's great to have you on the podcast, because, you know, we started this podcast last year, and really we wanted to try and get fan interaction and just get a feel for what people on, you know, diehard rugby fans in Munster, what their thoughts are, and try and keep them connected with the what's going on in Munster as best we can. Obviously, given our own opinions as well, just from your own personal experience, coming back to Munster last season, I know we're going back a little bit. You were on the road for a long time. We haven't had you on the podcast, so I always wanted to kind of get this insight for you. It isn't the media grilling this podcast, but what's it like being back, you know, last year and having the success? Maybe to start the last season, it was a tough start. You won 2 out of the first 7 and then end up winning at the end of the season. So for you being a Munster man, coming back in and being involved in the transition of where the team plays and getting the success in the end, what was that like, and how do you feel about the group of people that you have, the players that are there at the moment?
I think first and foremost, it was the experience of being away was brilliant. 9 seasons away between Grenoble, Oyonnax, Stade Francais and Racing. Experienced a lot. Was in different environments, under different coaches, obviously an array of different players. And I think that's something that was really important in terms of, I suppose, my own coaching development, just getting exposed to so many different players. If you look at most teams in France, they'll have 12 or 14 different nationalities. And I think if you can embrace that and be very open with it, you learn a lot through it. Even, you know, you look at, I suppose, the last club I was with in Racing, in terms of some of the players and the profiles that I would have coached, the likes of Finn Russell, Virmi Vekatawa, Juan Imhoff, Gael Fico, these guys, you're talking, you know, guys with a huge world experience. And being honest with you, and with previous clubs as well, I learned a lot through that. So I had a great time on the road. But your home club is your home club. And it would have been always something that I would have, I suppose, kept my eye on if the opportunity had ever come up. And I think it's important as well, when I was, I suppose, a younger coach as well, is to go away and try and upskill yourself as much as you can. And probably in tough environments as well, like the top 14, especially with the clubs I was with in my earlier career over there with Grenoble, Oyonnax, they're probably two clubs that are trying to stay afloat in the top 14. And you learn a lot about yourself and as a coach as well, because the reality is with clubs like that, you're losing, I mean, I had this conversation earlier with a few of the coaches, you're losing 70-80% of your games, and you're going in a Monday and you're trying to find positives and you're trying to find the key aspects to really what to go after. So there's great learnings over there, and as I said, fortunately enough, the phone call came through from Graham, and he was assembling his coaching staff, and I just liked what he had to say. He really wanted his coaches to coach, because I suppose the world, you know, we've through different clubs, through your experience, some head coaches like to coach and like to, I suppose what I'm trying to get at is that Graham, he allows you as a coach to get your ideas across, and he gives you the time, and he gives you the space. And I think that was something probably you mentioned at the start of last year. We came in and I suppose in terms of how we wanted to play, we changed it up a bit. There were still great fundamentals and foundations there, which is always really, really important in the game we coach, because you're going nowhere unless you have those fundamentals in there. And that was there, fortunately. And we just, I suppose, added a few aspects in terms of how we wanted to play.
You're being modest there now, because look, and I know you are modest, the reality is nobody saw the type of attack that we saw last year in previous coaching regimes. For a long period of time, anyway, I think if you go back to when we played and, you know, the profile of Dougie Howlett and Maffeys and Topokis and Ronan O'Gara at 10 and stuff like that, obviously a different profile of player, but we hadn't seen the sort of attack that you produced in the second half of last season. So you've got to take credit for that. And that's just a reality. You must be proud of the fact of that transition, which you say, credit to the head coach. He's letting you go ahead and do your stuff. Dennis Leamy do his stuff. Andy Kiriakou, Mossy Lawler's in there this year. So you've got to take credit for that, Mike. We haven't seen Munster play like this in a very long time.
Yeah, but I suppose just to carry on in terms of what Graham allowed was, he allowed us as coaches to implement what we wanted in terms of attack, and as you alluded to, Dennis defensively. And I think there was, and we could see it, and that was the reality, there was mistakes at the start. It takes a bit of time. I know I had said it, that Rome wasn't built in a day, etc., but that's the reality. We were, I suppose, parts of our habits, what we were trying to do in a daily, in our daily regime was changing up a small bit. And that does take time. I think even when you look back to Ireland, when they shifted, I suppose, in terms of how they play now, as opposed to maybe going back a number of years ago when there was a change around, that probably took a bit of time at the start as well. But we've seen how well they've nailed it and how, I suppose, much they've progressed. And that's the, I think the exciting things for us here, there's still a good bit of room for improvement. We want to keep layering aspects of our game. I think something that we probably have layered a small bit this year, and I just wanted to give it a bit of time in the first year to really focus on our framework and getting our pod work, or micro plays, we call them, all those nailed down, and you know, adding to that. And I think one maybe aspect we have added this year in terms of is just our short offensive kicking game. And I spoke about, you know, the players that are that we have here at the moment in terms of Joey, Tony Butler, we've seen, and obviously Jack Crowley. You know, it's a very big part of what we're trying to do. So, albeit we won a trophy at the end of last year, there was mistakes at the start, probably come Christmas or just after, we could see it, that it was coming together. And we finished the year well. But you're always also looking then to improve that. And we've kept on to the majority of what we're doing. As I said, we're just adding bits and pieces in terms of the offensive kicking game part of it. So overall, look, I suppose the question you're asking me, coming back to Limerick and coming back to Munster, massively exciting it was. And as I said, I think how Graham explained what he wanted to do, because at the end of the day, he's the head coach, and when we were losing games, he was the guy going out answering the questions, and he showed real belief and trust within us as coaches and the players. And that could have easily changed come Christmas, you know, in terms of very easy for him to turn around to me and say, you know, we need to probably kick a bit more here. But and I know it was mentioned before, and Graham was the one talking about, he could see it in training. We changed how we trained, and that does take time. And I think you probably saw after Christmas, you know, a lot of that, I suppose, come together.
Yeah, just on talking about that, Mike, a lot of players, you'd ask them, you know, what coach influenced them when they were on their playing career. But I've always wondered, because you've such a variety of coaching behind you, even in young Munster, but is there any particular coach that would have had a big thing on your coaching career? And what was that? Like, what kind of things stuck with you in your philosophy around that?
Yeah, I don't know, Fiona, if there's actually one. I think by travelling a bit, in terms of, I was a player as well, obviously played at Munster, went to Gloucester, went to Borg One, I've coached a couple of clubs. So I think just the experience of experiencing different types of coaches. You know, you'll have some coaches that are quite heavy focused on kicking. You have other coaches, which, and I know he's obviously well known here in the media. Bernard Jackman was a brilliant coach to work with. Just and you can see it in the work he does at the moment. But just his vision for the game, and the ideas he had, and he was very clear in it. And he definitely would be one that I have to name check. But I think overall, it's just, as I said, probably with the travel and the different clubs I had. And players as well. You learn an awful lot of through players, as you said. Mentioned a few guys like Finn Russell there. You know, they come up with ideas. He's been in different environments. You pull little bits and pieces. I know you'd know it yourself from your own coaching. You have your own philosophy, but there's little aspects of that you'll always keep adding to through your own ideas or something that, you know, as I said, that you might see teams doing that's a regular trend or speaking to different players. And I think, you know, Hartley Beale, for example, played with an Australian team that would be renowned for how they played in terms of attack. He was a great guy to sit down and chat and pull little ideas. So I think it's, you know what, it's kind of an overall experience more so than me picking out one or two coaches as such.
Would you have had, would you pick Ronan's brains at times, Mike, being in France and stuff like that over the years? He had it a bit easier because he had big budgets. When you were with Grenoble and Iona, you were down at the bottom of the table trying to scrape wins where, you know, a bit more luxury in the type of players and the money that, you know, he would have had it been at Racing or even when he came back to La Rochelle as well. I'm sure, like, he had a big influence on all of our playing careers when we played with him.
And we actually ended up going over to France the same year. 2013, Raj went to Racing and I went to Grenoble. So there would have been all was that. Obviously played with him, but I think it was more when we got over there, we probably got closer, and 100% we would have been sounding boards for each other, I should say. You know, you're in a different, in completely different environment with a different language. Sometimes you can feel, especially in the early days, when you probably didn't have the language, you can feel, I won't say isolated, but you feel a small bit on your own. And to be able to pick up a phone, things often was huge. And you know what, we continue that I suppose, through our careers. And, you know, you look at, I don't know, it's been well documented, you look at Ronan and what he's done. He's, I suppose, done a few clubs as well, and particularly on the other side of the world, going through someone like Crusaders. So I just think by getting to the different environments, being exposed to that is something that massively helps you in terms of your growth. It's tough at the time, especially when you're in a different country and you have a family and you're asking them to move and the kids are moving to school every couple of years. That ain't easy. But as I said, you know, it is, in terms of really equipping yourself as a coach. It's something that I'd always look back and I'd have no regrets in terms of, you know, I suppose, moving a couple of times.
Mike, can I just ask, I suppose it might be a broad question, but how has the game changed since you were a player compared to where you are now as a coach? And
well, I think we have time for, folks. Best of luck to the Cork footballers as they take on Armagh and Super Value Parky Cueve in the Aviva. It finished nil all in Ireland's game versus Belgium. Cork City women's team are currently 2-1 down against Wexford Youths in Ferry Carrick Park. Hopefully they can turn things around in the second half. Dan Casey signing off here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Chat next week. Stevie G is on the way next.
Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Red FM.